Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I have some bad news to start with. The church's Wi-Fi is down, so if we can't use our iPads or our iPods or anything, you actually have to use your Bible, okay, in your pew. So would like to invite you to open to the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk, the only prophet in the Bible who is Filipino. Habakkuk, okay, that's a terrible joke. Okay, Habakkuk, turn in your Bibles. In your pew Bibles, it's 662. And while you're turning there, just a quick announcement for those of you who are new or not familiar. We have fellowship time downstairs after the sermon or the service is finished. Please stick around and get to know us. Say hello before you leave and have some refreshments, some drinks, and some snacks. We'd love to speak with you and get to know you a little bit more. So that's fellowship time after the service. Basically, it just doesn't end. So it starts here, and we just move it on downstairs for some more one-on-one, face-to-face time. So we're in the book of Habakkuk, and actually it's in your bulletin, the first page, but it's always good to have your own Bible. And I want you to go to the third chapter, chapter 3, the last chapter of the book. We're going to read the closing verses, of the book of Habakkuk. It's going to be chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Okay, we'd like for us to read it together. Ready? Let's read. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instruments. Amen. The very words of God. Well, for those of you who have been with us, you know that we are going through this entire year as a church, not only this English body, but also the Japanese people in the Japanese service. We're going through the whole Old Testament, preaching all the way through from Genesis and all the way to the Italian prophet Malachi. And we're going to focus in this church, in this service, on the way that the Old Testament shows us so much about Jesus. Your Bible, this Bible, is mostly the Old Testament, roughly 70% of it. And so the Bible itself is one huge message about Jesus Christ. It's saying that Jesus is coming, has come to rescue his people. That's the one story that this whole Bible is telling us. And in the Old Testament, it shows that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. There is one who will deliver us from our sins, deliver us from unrighteousness, and save us from the wrath of God, because we messed it all up through sin. And then there's the New Testament that says Jesus has come, and he has come to make all things new. And if you believe in him, put your faith in him, behold, you are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. And so that is the overarching message of the Bible. And that's what we want to preach, even when we're in the Old Testament. Jesus, the name itself, is not in the Old Testament, but he's on every single page. And that's what we set out to do as we're in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet. He is a so-called minor prophet. He's minor in that his book is short, only 3 chapters. And as you've been with us the past few months, we've been going through the minor prophets. We started with Jonah, we've gone through Micah, Amos, Hosea, and now we're in Habakkuk. Now, just some background on what's going on with Habakkuk. The subject of our message sermon today is Habakkuk's hope. Habakkuk's hope. Why? Because Habakkuk was in a hopeless situation. There was nothing good going to happen in Habakkuk's time. You're familiar with Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet. He was the one who predicted and then witnessed the devastation and destruction of his beloved city, Jerusalem. Well, Habakkuk was a contemporary of Jeremiah. And he also witnessed and saw everything that Jeremiah saw as well. Now, what's different from that Habakkuk has from the other prophets? Here's what most of the prophets said before Habakkuk. Destruction is coming. Judgment is coming down. God is going to reckon this city, this country. You need to change. You need to repent. You need to humble yourself, come before God, and stop the the murdering, the lying, the cheating, the racism, the violence, all of that. You need to put an end to it. And if you do, God is slow to anger, full of compassion, and He will hold back His judgment. You just need to change. You can do it. And these prophets, God is sending these prophets and He's saying, I love you. I don't want to put the hammer down, but I will because I need to punish sin. Nobody changed. Nobody relented. Nobody repented. And so here comes Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. And he's saying something different. He's saying, there's no change. There's no repentance. It's too late. Here comes God's judgment in the form of a nation called Babylon. And so if you're going to go back with me in chapter 1, the first few verses, Habakkuk's telling God, God, it's frustrating. God, all this mess in my city, Jerusalem, all these liars, all these murderers, all these violent people, people taking advantage of the poor, people taking advantage of the foreigner. God, what's going to happen? And God answers him in verse 5. And then we read in verse 6. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth and seize dwelling places not their own, and so on and so forth. In other words, God is going to use a country called the Babylon, also known as the Chaldeans, and they're going to come down from the north, sweep down into Judah, and utterly destroy. God is going to use them as a sword to cut down His own people because He loves them. And He loves them, so He has to judge their sin. And so Habakkuk is having this dialogue with God. God, how are you going to deal with the sin in this city and in this country? And God says, I'm going to judge it. I'm going to take care of it. And then Habakkuk says, what? Wait. This is your people, God. This is your people. These are people who fear you, who acknowledge you, who do the sacrifices. They have the temple. This is the place where you put your name. And you're going to use a godless country? People who care nothing about you? Who only care about themselves? They're a law unto themselves. And you're going to use them? And God said, yeah, that's right. Exactly what I'm going to do. And Habakkuk's like, okay, well, what about them? If you're going to punish the sin in here, how are you going to punish the sin in them? And God answers that. And he uses that. The end of Habakkuk 1, it says in verse 12, O Lord, are you not from everlasting, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. This is the Chaldeans. O rock, you have ordained them to punish. And then it says in 13, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than them? They aren't righteous, and yet you're going to use them to beat on the righteous. What is that, God? And then, so here's what, this is the greatest thing. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, God, that's my question. And here's what I'm going to do until you answer. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I'm going to give this complaint. He says, I'm going to wait, God, for you to answer me. I just need to park here just for just a minute and say, there's some of you, you've got a situation. There's things going on, and it's way over your head. It's out of your control, and you're thinking, is God going to do something about this? And some of you think, if he doesn't answer me by tomorrow, that's it. I'm done. If God doesn't meet my deadline, then I'm not going to meet his anymore. I'm tired of waiting. And Habakkuk sends us an example. He says, No. Wait upon the Lord. Be firm. Be strong. And just wait. Just wait. Because the Lord, for you, he may be late. But for him, he is always on time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has the Lord ever met you right on time? It was way beyond your deadline. Way beyond what you thought it was the last minute. But he came through, didn't he? And Habakkuk says, I'm going to wait until I get this answer. Some of you need to say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait. Come hell, come high water, come whatever. I know my Redeemer lives. And in the end, he will redeem my life. That's chapter 2, verse 1. And then the Lord answers him from chapter 2, verse 2, to the end of chapter 2. And basically the Lord says, look, I'm going to deal with my people, Jerusalem. I'm going to judge them with Babylon. But I'm still God. And I'm still going to take care of sin. So what I'm going to do is, after I'm done with Jerusalem, with Babylon, I'm going to come down on top of Babylon. And I'm going to judge Babylon my way. And we find out it's from the Medes and the Persians. They come in and they do what they do. And in the middle of that, we get this gem of a truth that points us to Jesus Christ. Are you ready for it? It's in chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. It's talking about the Babylonians. See, Babylon is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. So that last part of the verse is so important. But the righteous will live by his faith. If this is your Bible, and even if it's not, if it's a pew Bible, I want you to get a pen, and I want you to mark up this Bible. Circle it, underline it, put a star next to it, put a square on it. The righteous will live by his faith. I want to invite you to vandalize this Bible, if you will. Why? Because that principle is so important. God is going to repeat it three more times with two different people in his Bible. The righteous will live by his faith. Paul repeats it in the book of Romans, chapter 7, I believe. He repeats it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Another author repeats it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The righteous will live by faith. And there's this seed of a gospel, the seed of a hope that he gives to Habakkuk that we read, and having standing on this side of history, we see where it comes to fruition in the New Testament. And I'm going to break that down a little bit with the time allowing, but I want to get through Habakkuk real quick. And so basically God gives like these five woes in chapter 2 of Habakkuk. Woe, woe, and they're like punches on Babylon. And basically he's just taking his fist and saying, Babylon, woe, and woe, and woe, and he's going to judge Babylon. And you could read all the way through chapter 2 of that. Basically, Babylon is taking advantage of the weak. They just charge on everybody. They gain their wealth on the weak and all of that. God takes care of it because he's God. And the point is this. I can't remember what verse it is. You'll forgive me. But here's what Babylon is doing. And this is important for us because this is important for our faith. Babylon is spreading its power, spreading its fame, spreading its glory at the expense of other smaller, weaker countries. And Babylon is trying to flex itself. And in that power, it's growing in its pride. And then God says, you can do that, but I'm telling you, it's all a waste of time. It's meaningless. The nations will do all they can to raise up their own glory and in their banners. But one day, Habakkuk says, the world will be full of the glory of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the earth. It's the glory of God that will stand. And so we'll have superpowers, they will come and they will go. We'll have amazing men who will raise up nations and conquer things. They will come and they will go. But one thing remains, that is the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. That's what Habakkuk gives to us. That's all in chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, Habakkuk gives us a song. It's a prayer. He's rejoicing in this. And he's saying, yes, I got what I was waiting for. He waited for his answer, and that's what he did. And so in chapter 3, he's going to write a song. I know we have artists in here. We have people who are creative, and they make stuff out of their hands and with their hearts and music. And that's what Habakkuk is. He's one of you. And he writes the song. How do we know it's a song? Because we read it in that last part, that last verse. He says, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. He's saying, get the band going. Get on the drums. Get on the keyboards. Get on the guitar. And let's celebrate. And so he's saying, look, I'm not just going to pray this prayer, chapter 3. I'm not going to just pray this just to show you how spiritual I am. I want everybody to join with me to know who this God is and how great he is. That's Habakkuk chapter 3. I want to invite you to just commend this book to you. You can read it in 5 minutes. You could. But it will take you your lifetime to delve into it. It took me forever. It's still taking me. But those are the highlights of Habakkuk chapter 3. Now I want to step back from all of that. And I want to go back to that verse in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. This is what many preachers and teachers call the seed of the gospel. The righteous will live by faith. It starts in the book of Genesis, chapter 15. It says that Abraham was a man called by God to go to another country. Does that sound familiar to anybody here? And Abraham, He believed God. He just believed God. And it was credited to Abraham as righteousness, as being right with God. And that's where it started, that whole principle of faith, living by faith in God. And the whole Bible is a story of that faith, of people who put their faith in God. And it blows up in the New Testament, where a man came and said, I am God. And if you would put your faith in me, you will be right with God. Because you know, and I don't need to preach this and get all into it, you know in your heart of hearts, you know in those quiet moments, you know when you think about the end. As Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, we are all appointed to live one time, and after that we face judgment. You know, you have something inside you that God will not accept. Because His eyes are too pure. He is holy. And you know inside you God will not receive that unless you have something that He's giving you. And that's in chapter 2, verse 4. It's called faith. And some of you, I need to get on this real quick. You think you're fine. You don't think you're lost. I need to wake you up and tell you, you are lost. You need to find faith. I was in high school. I did something very stupid. I went hiking by myself. I was camping with my family. They were taking a nap. I looked at a map of the campground. There was a loopy trail. It starts here, goes around, and comes to the backside of the camp. I could do that. I'm 16 years old. So I put some snacks in my backpack, and I go on a walk. And 15 minutes later, I have no idea where I am. I've got trees, a mountain, and I'm hearing noises. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, I'm okay, I'm 60, I'm okay, I'm all right, all right, I'm all right. So I'm walking, and over here on my left is a big old bush, and I just hear a rustle. I don't know if you've ever felt this before. It's that cold sweat, and the hair, you know, just starts to, and I look, and it's just rustling. And I don't want to, you don't want to run, because if you run, it's going to come out and eat you. But you're like, Dwight, if I stay here, it's going to eat me. So I'm scared. And eventually it stops and I'm just like, you know, creeping along. I'm looking for a path. I'm looking for something to show me. And I realize I am going to die on this mountain today. I'm lost. And what do I do in that moment? What do? I cry out. In my weak little 16-year-old voice, help! Help! And I'm just shouting it. I'm lost! I'm lost! Now, obviously, I found my way back. I wouldn't be here telling the story if I didn't. Okay, I need to fast forward. I was okay. I found a way out. But I want to tell you, some of you, you think you're not lost. You think you're just fine. You're just going to go through this life. It's going to be pleasant. I'm going to get some stuff, whatever. You're lost. God is calling you. And you need to understand before you realize. Because if you don't think you're lost, you're in this dream. You're living a dream. You're not living reality. God will judge what's inside of you. And you need to come to terms with that. Now, how does He do that? How do we do that? He doesn't reveal it completely to Habakkuk. He gives it to Paul. He gives it to us in the Old Testament. It's through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Christ Jesus has bridged the gap between God and man. And in Him, we have peace with God. And so it is faith in that Jesus. Because Isaiah told us that Jesus was righteous. And He died here on this cross for you who are unrighteous. And so what He does, this is the best thing. Those who put their faith in Jesus have three things happen. Number one, the sin gets what it deserves. Your sin gets what it deserves. It gets punished. It gets condemned right there. If you just put your faith in it, your sin gets condemned. Your sin gets what it deserves. Number two, God gets what He deserves, which is glory. He's God. He will not let sin go. He's not wishy-washy like you and me. I get out of sin, I tell a lie, I do something stupid, I sweep it under the rug. God does not do that with your sin. He will deal with it. And when he does that at the cross, he gets glorified because he needs to do that. He needs to deal with sin. The third thing is, you get what you do not deserve. Number one, the sin gets what it deserves. Number two, God gets what he deserves. And three, you get what you don't deserve. Eternal life. Forgiveness of sin. Washing away of guilt. Removal of shame. That's what you get. Because the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. I need to just come to the end. How is it that the righteous will live by faith? Just two things. You're going to come to Jesus by faith. Some of us think, I'm going to come to God. I'm going to come to Jesus if I change my life. And that's a good thing, to live a good moral life. I'm going to help people. I'm going to stop, the crazy living. I'm going to help those who need help. I'm not going to be a jerk to whatever. And I'm just going to change me. I'm going to live in the light, whatever. And that's a good thing. But if there's no faith, it doesn't give you what you need. It's the righteous will live by faith, not by good things, good works. And some of us think, okay, I'm gonna come to church. I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna get into the Bible. I'm gonna come close to God with the Bible. And we think that's how I'm gonna live. That's how I'm gonna get right with God. God says, no. You need to come by faith. It's not the Bible. We think it's the Bible. And we think it's the church. We think it's the community. And that's what makes me a Christian. It's the fact that I read the Bible. The fact I come to church. I grew up in the church house. No. The righteous will live by faith. By faith. That's how you come to Jesus. That's how you come. And I want to invite you, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know the power, if you don't know the joy of knowing God, of being this with God. See, some of us, we want this. We're looking for this with God. But this is how far we can come. We get this close because of prayer, of going to church, or changing our life. We come that close. That's not enough. We need this. That's faith in Jesus Christ. The righteous will live by faith. That's how you come. But that's not just how you come, my friends. For some of you, you know Jesus. You know God. So you don't just come to God in faith. You continue with God in faith. Because the righteous live by faith. Are you feeling me? You understand? You continue. And just real quick, some of us, we think, I don't feel I'm saved. I don't know if this is the right one, if this religion is the right one. I see these other religions, they're doing pretty good. Is this it? In my heart, I don't have this peace. No, it's not about your feelings. Because the righteous don't live by feelings. They live by faith. Let me make it real plain. For those of you here who've ever ridden a bus, and you're not Japanese, so the non-Japanese, all the non-Tanakas, the non-Watanabes, here. If you've ever gotten on a bus, they don't write them in English usually. This is back in my day, a couple years ago. And they're in kanji, some of them in hiragana, right? And you want to get somewhere. And you think, okay, I think this is my bus. It's got the kanji. It's got a bunch of other kanji. Maybe this is the one. I'm going to get on this bus believing it's the one who's going to take me to where I need to go. So you get on the bus, and you're on the bus, and you have doubt. Is this the right bus? You start passing things, and you're like, I don't know if this set looks familiar. Have I seen this? I don't know. And you think, I'm on the wrong bus. They had that panic, right? I'm on the wrong bus. And then the bus turns and you, oh, yeah, okay, I know that. I know that. I've seen that. I'm on the right bus. I'm okay. And then the voice, the announcer, the bus lady on the voice starts talking about things and starts saying things and nothing she says sounds familiar and you, oh man, I'm on the wrong bus. And you're like, ah. And it goes that way for like 30 minutes on the bus. You're on the right, you're on the wrong bus, you're on the right bus, you're on the wrong bus, right? And sooner or later, 30 minutes later, here you are where you needed to be. It didn't depend on how you felt 5 minutes ago. It didn't depend on your feelings or, you know, what you were saying. It was faith. The bus is Jesus Christ. Can I make it real plain? Jesus is the bus. The righteous live by faith. So you may feel saved. You don't may not feel saved. You may feel good. You may not feel good. But let me bring it back to Habakkuk at the very end. Because this is the most beautiful song I've heard in a while. In Habakkuk, at the very, we just read it, he gives five things. The fig leaves are gone, the cattle are gone, there's no more oil and no olives. It's all gone. Everything around me, gone. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they took it all. There's nothing. And I don't feel good about my whole life at all. And then he says, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord my God. The Lord will be my strength. That is faith. Amen? So he gives us chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. He gives us chapter 3 at the very end. This is what my faith means. No matter how things look, no matter how people treat me, no matter what country I'm in, no matter how bad it seems, I'm going to put my faith in the Lord. And He will be my strength. Not what people give me. I don't care how much love you give me. You can give me the food. You give me the money. You give me the recognition. But my joy is in the Lord. And I find the right person. And she makes me feel good. And he makes me feel wonderful. But my strength is in the Lord. Because they're all going to fail. They're going to disappoint. And they're going to flake out. You know that. But the righteous live by faith in Him. I want to invite you, come back to Him. Come back by faith. Come back to the Lord in faith. Because the righteous will live by faith. And let your righteousness come from Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness that He gives to you. Amen? I'm going to invite the worship team to get us ready. And would you all with me bow your heads in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we as a people will come before you. And Lord, your word lays bare everything. And Lord, I pray that your word lays bare our sin, our guilt before you. And I pray that we would come before you asking for your righteousness and putting down our own. So God, save us. Hosanna. Save us, Lord, from our sins. Save us, Lord, from our guilt. Save us, Lord, from our shame. In Jesus' name. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us whose faith has been lagging, whose faith has been weak, whose faith has been feeble. Father, strengthen the limbs that have been weak. Strengthen those who have been faltering, who are about to fall off, whose wicks are about to die out. Lord, fan into flame the faith that you have into it, that you've put into us, God. Oh, dear God, let us live by faith once more. I pray, Lord God, if we've been trying to do it by ourselves, trying to make it on our own, whatever it is, God, we need faith. And we know that it's a gift from you, so we ask for it. We ask for it, Lord, with open arms, open hearts, open minds, Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, would you all rise as we sing our closing song together?